everyone.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Ken Hilker. I've been with Flexterra about 4 years, but I've been in what we call the application readiness space, whether packaging, migration projects, starting with Windows 2000 efforts, done a lot of transformation efforts, Citrix, thin clients, been in AppV for a long time, been in that world a long time. And together today I'm here with Megan.
Yeah, and so I've been with Sikunya for almost 6.5 years now, part of the sales team and business development, and now I'm part of the Flexterra family. So I'm going to be talking to you about some of that security side, and Ken's going to be talking to you a little bit more about the Flexterra solutions that I'm not as familiar with yet.
Well, so Flexterra is involved with all things related to managing your application. So the Sikunya acquisition is perfect for us. It helps close that gap on the security side. But we've been very involved with the entire application life cycle on the enterprise side, with getting applications ready for deployment. It's the Admin Studio Suite, our app portals, front end, the enterprise app store for requesting apps for your users, and many more things. We'll talk about a little bit of that this afternoon. Our Flex and Manager Suite's involved with software license optimization to help you track everything and where it's going and how it's being used. And then now with Corporate Software Inspector on the side of the house as well on this vulnerability management. With Windows 10 coming, what I want to highlight here is it is coming. It's coming very fast. Microsoft just released some new statistics about 2 weeks ago. I think total they said there's about 200 million Windows 10 devices live if looking at the consumer space, but already 22 million running in the enterprise. Its growth is outpacing Windows 7 by 140%, which is really surprising. We know how popular Windows 7 was, how big it's out there in the enterprise today. And that 76% of enterprises are running some sort of an active pilot on Windows 10 right now. They've already begun. This work is happening. It's coming. So we really are starting to encourage you to start looking at it, start getting your processes, your applications ready for this event, because it's going to impact you. So we've been doing this a long time, like I talked about. We have an established process. As you start looking at whether it's a migration or a transformation or some kind of a major effort affecting your desktop and the devices that you manage. So it kind of begins up at the top with identifying what's out there today. So identify what people have on their devices, what they're actually using. And then you want to start rationalizing that. What they have today, is that what you want them to have tomorrow? Things have changed. Things are constantly changing, whether it's an entirely new version of a product, new patches and security updates. We're in a very dynamic space. As you heard Jeremy talking about earlier, with a lot of software developers moving more and more agile, getting their releases out constantly. I like to often joke, there's probably going to be a new version of Chrome by the time I get off the stage. These things are happening very, very quickly today. So you got to look at what's out there, figure out what you want to move forward with, because that's not only new versions of a product, could be entirely different products. Perhaps today you're using 7-Zip, but you want to move over to WinRAR or WinZip or something else in its place. Bring in those standards and force them. Migrations and transformations are a great opportunity to bring that to the table. Once you know what you want, the next question is, does it work? Is it compatible? Is it going to work on the target platforms that we're moving to? In particular, I really hope everybody's going as big with 64-bit as they can with Windows 10. I've talked to a lot of companies that still have a pretty heavy footprint of 32-bit out there. Please keep in mind, Windows 10 is here for a long time. There is no Windows 11 on the roadmap. So whatever you're committed to, you're going to be committed to for a very long time. So if you have 32-bit, really review that. There's been a lot of progress over the last several years, a lot of applications. Hopefully your developers had plenty of time to get over that hurdle. Get that done now. But now you know that things work, it's time to start planning those efforts. What is that going to take to get this delivered? Find your early pilots. Who's a good candidate to kind of work out the bugs? Who's willing to kind of be that guinea pig? Figure out then which apps you need to go where, who's getting what. Because you don't want to do it all up front. That's something that I did on our Windows 2000 project years ago, was we tried to get all 1,200 applications done up front and then roll everybody. The problem with that is things are changing too fast. You can't do that anymore. You've got to keep up and get these apps ready and rolling them out kind of on a rolling cadence. So plan out who's going first, second, third to get that effort done. And from there, you can then start, now that you know who's going first, you can start building the packages, getting those applications ready for those users, getting addressing any issues, fixing them, package the app, get them into System Center, make them ready for deployment, being the last step, is getting the apps out to those devices. Now, throughout this entire process, Your management's going to want some visibility. There's a lot of project managers, executives. These efforts always are very high profile. A lot of people watching want to know what's going on. So make sure you've got those kind of dashboards, those reports, the systems in place for visibility into it. And now with the new security products as part of our portfolio, we're also talking about the importance of bringing vulnerability into this process, something we haven't looked at before. But make sure you understand what's vulnerable. And this, the entire six steps still apply. You got to identify which apps are out there, whether they're vulnerable or not. Use that information as part of your rationalization decision. You know, if something's been out there for a long time, I may have some issues with it. Maybe it's time to find a replacement product or a newer version of that effort. So all this impacts the entire process, including how you fix the application or package it with the patches in place and get them deployed. So with that process in place and understanding kind of that as a framework, start thinking about, are your apps ready for Windows 10? Is your portfolio rationalized? Do you know which apps you need? Are they compatible? We'll touch on this in a little bit, but are your apps easy to reinstall? Because it's one thing to deliver the core image that has the operating system and the base apps, but your users can't be productive with just that, or a subset of them might be able to, but the larger group needs more apps on top of that. And then are your apps, have they been secured? The other really important angle, and how this changes with Windows 10, is that Windows 10 is coming as a service. It's not a static image. You don't have this one image that's going to be out there for 3 or 4 years or longer, like with XP. It's in this constant changing state. There's going to be major updates every 4 to 6 months or whenever Microsoft releases them. There's not a strict cadence. They're going to come when they're ready. And you've got to have your processes in place to be able to react to that and keep up with this constant change. So some of the things we're hearing out there, 48% of organizations are telling us that they've got more applications than the business really needs. So the importance of rationalizing, because with these efforts, you don't want to move everything. That's more work. It's going to slow down your project. It's going to make your project cost more, especially if you're using some service providers, right? We want to help optimize that spend on these third parties, these contractors, these service agencies you're working with. You don't want them to be spending time on things you don't actually need. So do this up front. You can work with them on this to figure out what are the right applications. And we just to highlight that compatibility angle again, 79% of IT professionals brought up the concern with Windows 10. So far, things are looking pretty good, but you don't know, and the big concern isn't so much the day one, it's the constant change I was talking about before. It's this Windows as a service. Just because it works today, is it going to work tomorrow as there's a new update, a new change? So again, this comes back to having those processes, making sure you're following the Microsoft bans of the new releases. You've got test systems in place to keep up with this constant change. So let's dive into the rationalization. That's the newest product from Flexera. We launched a few months ago, a solution called Admin Studio Inventory and Rationalization. And starts here with understanding your inventory, because everybody I've talked to, they have inventory. You're a system center, guys. You know you've got the data. The problem is you've got too much data, or the business users, the people making these decisions feel they have too much data. Some of the things we hear about is just inconsistent naming. It's kind of hard to find and sort things. In this example, you see IBM, IBM Corp, IBM Corporation. You've got all these different examples up there. You'll see minor version numbers, which can be important for many use cases, but from just a rationalization of what app do I want to reinstall on Windows 10, I don't need to know about every service pack and hotfix and little change that's out there. You've also got what I call noise. Drivers, runtimes, the packaging group will take care of that. They'll build the larger suite project that has all the whole dependency map for that application. They know it's needed to get the larger application reinstalled. The person doing rationalization doesn't need to understand and look at all these tiny little components. That's just noise to them as they're trying to understand the applications that make up the business. So our solution, this is the exact same data set looked at in Admin Studio. In here, we apply familiar names. We just call it IBM. We do the same thing on the products. It's just the IBM Connect utility. We simplify the version names. So all those minor version numbers, we consolidate and roll up where it makes sense. We also, this is powered by a cloud service. So this is live. We've got a full-time team out there collecting information, working with software vendors and partners to keep this information up to date. So we know categories, classifications. We have a whole set of metadata out there that we're building, adding on to make this information easier to consume. And with all that, you can sort and filter and just look for things in a lot of different ways. This also then connects back into your Admin Studio environment. The people out there that are building the packages for System Center, This is looking at what packages they've already built, whether it's been tested as compatible with the different operating systems, the 32-bit versus the 64-bit questions, is making sure it's compatible with the different application virtualization technologies you may be using, like AppV. If you're using Citrix and RDS environments, again, all that is being done in Admin Studio, and we're bringing that information here to this central view. So those that are making these decisions have easy access to the information they need to drive the right decisions for the business. Now, that's an IBM example of just IBM, but this cloud service we're providing is covering 177,000 applications, 17,000 vendors, and growing every day. So major database, major backend offered there as a cloud service to keep this constant and fresh. So let's take a look at this in action for a few minutes. So this is kind of a data set out there showing my environment, the different applications. Again, I want to highlight all the application compatibility information is coming from Admin Studio. So we're bringing in all that information about remote desktop, about AppV, all that's shown here for the simple decisions. But we can look at this in a lot of different ways. I'm going to take a look here and take a look, just filter this by categories. I'm going to look at, let's say, content authoring and editing utilities. And here I can see all these different applications that do that particular need. So many times you might rationalize, in this case, by like PDF editing software, or maybe it's by compression utilities. And you'll find you've got WinZip, 7-Zip, and WinRAR, all these things that do the same function. So you can sort and organize this by category to drive better decisions. So here in this content editing category, we can see these PDF utilities. Just to look at this even more detailed, I'm a Excel pivot table guy, so I'm going to sort this here, and I can drag up by product. So now I'm just organized all these by product names. And take a look here, expand just Acrobat by itself. So it makes this inventory data that you're collecting. We take that data, turn it into information. It's much easier to look at, easier to access, find just what you're looking for, puts that information at your fingertips. Just as an example up here, I can see I've got a couple users on Acrobat 8 standard out there. We can click on that to see exactly who they are, their machine name, the username, a little bit about their device that they're using it from. Or I can also take a look at a usage report, which is getting like last run data from the System Center inventory. So I can see of the two users, only one of them has run it in the last 6 months, and the other one hasn't touched it in at least three months. So quick access about what's out, not just what's there, but is it actually being used? Because that drives a lot better decision making. You can look at this a lot of different ways. I can sort this by version number. We've got an intelligence engine built into this, so it knows that Acrobat DC is the newest version of Acrobat, moves that up to the top. Also want to highlight there, DC is the newest version, and it shows me I've got zero users, zero devices with that application. So it knows about the new products that we're not even using yet in our company. So it's not just my inventory. It's that superset of what I have today and what I could have, so I can use this to make better decisions. Again, going forward, I might want to move to Acrobat DC for my Windows 10 rollout. Let's take a look up here. So not only looking at this, just kind of at the larger environment, you can carve this up and do this in projects, like a migration, a pilot group for Windows 10. I just want to select a subset of users or a geography or different ways of looking at it. So I'm going to open up one of the projects I already have. So I've got a Windows 10 migration project in here. And it shows them the decisions we've made. So not only can we see this information, we can take action against it. I can mark and indicate applications that I want to retain. I need them moving forward. Applications that need to be upgraded or things that I want to retire and start pulling out. They don't need to go forward into my Windows 10 environment. So you can track these applications, track the decisions about them. And then from here, we can then launch workflows for the packaging team to start working on packaging the apps, testing them, getting them ready for that final deployment and checked into System Center. So that's all centrally tracked. Now, once the applications have then been, we've gone through this rationalization effort, we figure out what we want, we've started the packaging effort, we got our applications out there. When it comes time to actually deploy the apps, something we've been hearing a lot is that 40% of the migration time spent reinstalling the apps. Because again, it's one thing to get out that OS image, where you've got your operating system, some core standard apps, some configuration for the enterprise. But on top of that, you've then got to get all your business unit apps, things that marketing wants and sales wants and finance wants. And then there's that next layer of covering the individual users. Everybody's got their own little things that personalize their device to the next level, especially in today's kind of consumerization of IT. Everybody's personalized their device to the next level. So to get that, those apps out there, one thing you can do, absolutely, we recommend, is having that app store experience out there. We have a solution called App Portal. Get your apps up there, make your apps easy to find, easy to access, very much like an Amazon experience where you can check things out, add them to the cart. This one, we've built a lot of intelligence in. You can build very advanced workflows to get sign-off, make sure everything's been approved. It can do more than software. You can see I've got headsets in here, devices. You can customize this app store to cover all the different scenarios you might need. So that's a big first step. So that last layer, that personalization, you could let your users take care of it themselves. You know, you get out the core image, help them with task sequences to get out the business units, and then let that personalization layer, let that be self-service. So that's available there with our App Portal solution. But App Portal could also go a step further and help reinstall those apps automatically. Again, we're tying into our system center, tying into that inventory, identify what's out there. Again, like our rationalization solution, it's looking at not just what's deployed, but what's actually in use. And then we can actually recommend apps. We can say, you know, based on what apps are there, what our apps are used, we recommend that these apps get reinstalled. And then from there, we can also do what we call app mapping. We can build out relationships and say that, going back to our, we'll give two examples, our Acrobat example. Everybody that's got Acrobat 11 today, we want to upgrade them to Acrobat DC. So we can map out that relationship. Or if we want to change our 7-Zip to WinZip, we can completely change products and map that out. So now, when it's time to roll out the OS image and start the OSD process, which again can be initiated from App Portal, it will not only do the OS upgrade or reinstall the new image, but it'll reinstall all the apps according to this intelligence, the recommendation engine, and all the mapping that you've put in place. So you can really streamline that process so when the users come in with their new device, they've got that personalized experience already taken care of. So from there, I'm going to hand things over to Megan to talk about kind of the security angle to this.
Thank you, Ken. So the other really important thing to think about, I mean, when you're rolling out Windows 10, and also it's kind of a continuous process of what you need to be doing, is are those apps that I'm rolling out vulnerable, right? Or am I rolling out the most recent version? And that's sort of what we talk to and help with in our corporate software inspector. So before I get there, I just want to make sure that we're all sort of in the same reality, which is that Sukunya's research team, which is now the Flexera research team, has a database that has the largest amount of software vulnerabilities. So we publish a report every year that speaks to how many vulnerabilities we identified, right? So we have our own research team verifying this, publishing. That's where this information comes from and what we use in our corporate solutions. So last year, in our 2015 report, there was 15,434 vulnerabilities found in 3,870 vulnerable products. So I would guess that there's a couple of people here and people watching us that are taking care of, maybe personally responsible for updating and patching their Microsoft applications and their third-party applications. Of the people who had to do that, I wonder how many kept track of 3,870 vulnerable products last year. I bet not many. Because you can't do this manually anymore, right? You need to have some sort of automation to this process. And if I gave you this list of these 3,870 vulnerable products, it wouldn't be relevant because this is something that gets updated every day by our research team. So you need to have some automation to this process so that you're on top of IT security. It's not really enough just to take care of the ones that you know about or a couple of the ones that you have extra catalogs for. You need to have the whole view so that if you're going to only patch one or two applications that day or week or month, you're going to pick the ones that have the biggest security risk to your organization. And we call that complete patch management. So it's not just this idea of creating a patch and getting that out there. It's also this idea of getting vulnerability intelligence behind it so that when you make this patch and when you deploy that to your system, you're doing so for the applications that have the biggest security risk for your environment. So let me just go into my demo environment, theoretically. and show you what that would look like. So here I have the Corporate Software Inspector. And from here, what you could do is get an overview of your environment to help you prioritize what to actually go ahead and patch. So you can do that in the scanning section. Now, you can do this by utilizing our own agents, or if you're using System Center Config Man, you can take the inventory that you already have from there. In either case, what we're doing is we're looking at the EXEs, the DLLs, and the OCX files, and we're cross-referencing that against our own in-house software vulnerability database. So what you get is actually, now I'm going to show you for one machine. Is a view sort of like this. I don't know if anybody's familiar with, actually we have a free home tool called the Personal Software Inspector. Maybe some of you have it on your home PCs. I see some nods. So we have 8 million people who've downloaded it. If you have that tool, it's free from our website, you'll kind of understand these results, right? So that is the little brother to our corporate tool. And what you'll see here is that on this particular machine, I had a total of 69 programs. I had 11 that are insecure, I have 2 that are end of life, and I have 56 that are patched. So that gives me a system score of 81%. Maybe you want to shoot for a 95%, which is what we recommend. Maybe for whatever reason, that's okay with you. In either case, we can kind of dig a little deeper and say, what are those programs? So this shows all of the programs that are on that machine, Microsoft, non-Microsoft, so forth. It's not very important in this scenario that I see patched. I'm going to look at just end of life and insecure. And you can see all those programs that have come up here. What we also have is the criticality rating, which is a rating 1 through 5, so extremely critical, less. And that gives you a quick way to prioritize this information. That comes directly from our research team. We also show you when that was issued, right? So maybe I'd be concerned that this open office had a patch out 267 days ago and I've done nothing. Might be a system failure there that I want to look into. Whereas 7 days ago, the Adobe Reader patch came out. Maybe that's normal for me. I have a 10-day cadence on this. That's fine. So that kind of gives you an idea. But let's look at this on a bigger scale, right? Because if you're looking at this for 10,000 machines, you're not going to do it one by one, is my guess. So I'm going to look at this. This is the same information, just sorted differently, right? So now I'm looking at my entire environment and what I've kind of, all my inventory, and it's showing me what's vulnerable from that list, right? This is a really big deal in terms of time saving for you. We're not showing you all the new patches that come from vendors. We're just showing you the ones that are relevant to your environment. And as you notice, some of them have, of course, different criticality ratings. So the Adobe Flash Player is on the top there, kind of no surprise, with extremely critical vulnerability. That one, I know it came out on December 28th. Extremely critical vulnerability means that not only can that vulnerability be exploited with no end user interaction, it also means that we have recorded cases of that being used in the wild. So we know this is being used now. So we alert our customers to that. It's less than 2% of what we find, but it's pretty important, right? If you had time to patch one application this month, maybe you'd pick the Adobe Flash if you knew it had the extremely critical vulnerability. Okay, so now I've done all this, we've prioritized, and now you actually want to correct and patch that. We first connect to our WSUS on the back end of our SCCM. So that configuration is pretty straightforward. You put in the server name and port number, issue a certificate, and put out a group policy that allows it to deploy these non-Microsoft applications. I go into my packaging system, and I have the same list of programs that came up as vulnerable. So again, this is unique to your environment, right? And then let's take Mozilla. That's a common one. And I want to right-click and hit. Create update. Gives me language packs. I'd rather not go through all the languages. And now I have a wizard. So in this wizard, in 4 clicks, I can create this third-party package. For those who are using SCUP in SCCM, this replaces the need for SCUP, right? So from here, this gives you some applicability rules, and I have some one-click options. Maybe I don't want to have this as my default browser. Maybe I want to disable the migration dialog, so on and so forth. Remove desktop shortcut. We can do all of that. I can edit the package content, which gives you the whole script. So if you need to customize this further, you can do that. We also have PowerShell, VBScript. You can see these one-click options that we put here. I don't know how to do anything in this, so I'm going to leave it be. If you have those skills, though, this is your area. The next is just the paths where we found it, so it knows exactly what machines it's targeting. And the final is just a few more applicability rules. So reboot after a package is required, a language setting. And then we publish it to WSUS, and it gets repackaged as a CAB file. It'll appear in your SCCM just like your Microsoft updates do. So from there, you just kind of proceed as you would normally. Go into all software updates. I already searched for the Sikunya packages. We haven't gotten all the names figured out. It's not Flexera everywhere yet. So now I can see all these packages, and you can see these non-Microsoft updates are now in my System Center config man like my Microsoft updates would be. And you proceed as normal from there. So that's how we kind of can help make that more of a routine. So not just when you're doing your Windows 10, it's a really important fact check when you're rolling out apps with your new operating system, but it's also something that you're probably going to have to do on a continual basis. So I think we just have one more, which is that if you're looking for a little bit more information, you can visit the Flexera software website. You can get an evaluation of the corporate software tool, the tool that I just went through, the Admin Studio tool that Ken just went through, and you could also visit us at our booth if you're here with us today. Otherwise, we hope to hear from you soon, and we thank you for your time.